Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Macro Micro News for Friday, the 21st of February, 2025. Hope the weather's better where you are. It is here. Yesterday was dreadful. Really cold and wet and horrible. The market's a bit like that, isn't it? I'm not saying there's a correlation between the two. But it's just boring at the moment, really boring. I tell you what I've noticed today, very little news, macro news out for microcap stocks. There's a few delisting. There's a CEO of Totally stepping down, which I think was going to happen. It's, you know, it's a business that very low margins. And of course, when you have very wafer-thin margins, they can get wiped out very quickly. But more companies delisting, and I think Biome was one. And I said, you know, on Twitter, there's traits. Okay, there's lots of companies delisting, and most of them are crap. They're suboptimal, you know. They're not good enough to be listed. They shouldn't be listed. And it's okay when interest rates are low and raising equity is easy, but they're not at the moment. The cost of capital is very high. And I said, if you look at the companies that have delisted, most of them have never generated anything in the form of revenue. Some of them have, but they're, you know, highly cash burning, and they have been for years and years and years. And I've got to think to a certain extent, it's almost like saying, when do you expect to get a real return on your money? And by that, I mean profits generated. I don't mean the share price is going up and you know, on a pop and you're selling before the drop happens. I mean actually a real return on money invested via profits. How long do you give a company? I mean, some of these companies have been listed for over 10 years and they've never generated any revenue or profit. And why do they keep going? Well, largely because they send out this message, there's huge rewards in store coming down the line. And of course, directors are not going to tell you, oh, it's not going to happen, because it's in their interest to, you know, keep the company afloat, keep raising money, because that pays their wages, it pays their bills, that's their livelihood. Of course, they're going to say they're going to get through these, you know, trials, clinical trials, or they're going to find gold or copper or whatever it is. And they'll keep doing this and doing this forever and ever and ever. And you may see the reward being massively high. But always pay attention to that. When a company's expected reward is huge, the chance of achieving that, the risk of achieving that is very low. And if you look at the stats on oil explorers or clinical stage, you know, biotech companies, the odds are against you, you know, getting any reward. Yes, there may be a pop and drop in the stock, but don't mistake that for a return on capital. I think looking at the odds were, I mean, I looked at this a while back when I was, you know, investing in pre-revenue stocks, which the time to do that was when interest rates were super low and equity raising was quite easy. And, you know, I did well at those companies, but I realised, I mentioned in the book, my strategy had to change when interest rates went up. And I'm glad it did. Because I see these companies being, you know, rinsed, pumping out news. Oh, we've discovered this amount of grams in our latest drilling exploration. So what? You'll never, ever produce an ounce of gold. And I think I looked at clinical biotech companies, and the chances of going from phase one to commercial are like 13 to 1 if you're oncology. 13 to 1. Do you understand the odds of that happening? So if you're looking in percentage terms, you know, what is that? It's way less than 10%. So would you put all your money, or would you put all your money on a horse? And I say this in the book, has a chance of winning of 13 to 1. Because this is what happens with many private investors. They get caught up in the story, the hope by potential, and they don't actually think about the potential, the reasonable risk and reward to it. It's not going to happen. It's not going to play out. Don't believe the hope and the hype. If there is lots of hope and hype around a company, use it to trade the stock, but it's not an investable company. I did mention today, actually, I said, you know, lots of people start buying gold explorers because the price of gold's going up. Yeah, the companies may rally on sentiment, but many of these gold explorers will never, ever produce an ounce of gold. Ever. Now, if you take the other side of the coin, so how's best to play the gold play? Well, I don't really play it, fully out. But I've got exposure to Ramsden, so I've talked about this before. So Ramsden's last year, right, sold 31 million pounds of precious metals. That's 31 million pounds more than a lot of gold explorers will ever do. And this will increase probably this year because gold price continues to be high. And they also had record profits of 11.4 million on record revenue of 95.6 million. And that will likely be surpassed again. I keep saying one of the biggest mistakes I used to make and investors still make is going for the very high risk reward stocks, meaning the chance of achieving the reward is too high a risk and usually fails to materialize. So when you're looking at a company, start off, if you're new to investing or, you know, even now you're experienced, but you're not doing very well. If you want to change, you know, your track record immeasurably, focus on profitable companies. And I'm not talking about EBITDA profit, I'm talking about profit before tax. And then focus on companies that are growing that and their revenue. That means they're improving, okay? Read the trading updates, read the forecasts and see if they're improving or not. Because when it comes down to it, you are investing in a business. And I don't think people understand how risky these, you know, clinical stage biotech companies are, or these mining companies or exploring companies. They're very high risk to the point where the chance of achieving any reward is very slim. It's a false economy. You're better off going for a company with lower reward and lower risk, because that reward is more achievable. And you can say to some of these people, you know, listen, the chance of you, you know, like your company getting through these trials are very slim, like 13 to 1. But they won't hear it because they're wrapped up in the story and the reward. Focus on the risk first. Always focus on the risk first. It's like saying, you know, it's almost like trying to convince them, but do you think you'll win the lottery? And most people say, well, I play it. I don't think I'll win it. But those people still go to work, and many elsewhere, but there are some people probably convinced they'll win the lottery. 14 million to one chance of winning or something like that. But it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. You're better off going to work and trying to get a promotion in your job rather than just playing the lottery. So, you know, it's a hard market. You know, I'm just thinking, try and avoid the riskiest parts of the market because it's hard and they get whacked harder. And like I said, just relying on hope and hype is not good enough, really. If you want to make money investing, it's got to be a bit more sophisticated than that. And like I said, it's not hard. If it was, everyone would be doing it. It's not easy, I mean, otherwise everyone would be doing it. Anyway, I'm just saying that because there's no micro news today. There's macro news. Yesterday there was no macro news. Today there's no micro news I'm going to be looking at. So I thought I'd just say that anyway. By the way, sharepickers.com. Click on the book at the top of the page and you can get 25% discount off the Sharepickers Investment Club if you like the book enough to give it a 5-star rating and review. Now, as an example, when I started the Microcap League, we did have a couple of loss-making companies in there now, but now the Microcap League, which are companies filtered on 20 different metrics, are all profitable companies. So already you've got a quality filter in there that avoids loss-making companies. You know, all you have to do is consider whether they are improving the good value, all that stuff, and that's all scored for you anyway. But, yeah, so honestly, if you're looking at high-risk stocks, you know, be careful, don't overexpose, because you could take a massive hit, like I did during the bear market, when I was overly exposed to, you know, loss-making companies with, you know, high-risk, high-reward strategies, ratios. What's my dog doing? What are you doing, Lou? Sorry, my dog was making a noise in my office here. Yeah, I thought she wanted to go out, but she didn't. Just getting excited. Okay, let's look at the markets today. FTSE 100, it's up 0.12%. So it did have a couple of days of rolling over. Hit a high when it was out on the 12th, which is my birthday, actually. A high of 8,807. It's now 8,673. It's rolled over a little bit, but you can expect a pullback, of course, after hitting an all-time high. FTSE 250, more domestically focused companies here listed, of course. That's up 7 or even 0.8%, 20,771. FTSE small cap, it's up 0.4%, 6,772. And the AIM All Share, what's happening here? Ooh, it's up just over 0.5%, 7.20. So we all seem to be in this little range here. We need to get above 7.30 to start a new uptrend, I'd expect. Commodities, Brent crude, it's down 0.8%, $75.77 a barrel. With copper, it's down a tad. It's down 0.6%. I'm trying to get the chart of it. I don't know what's wrong with my internet today. It's really slow, which is annoying. So copper's at $10,104 a ton, just pulling back from a recent sort of high of $10,500. And Bitcoin, what's Bitcoin doing? It's 98,000. This is going to range as well a bit. 98,671. Maybe we're all hitting a range at the moment. Pound against the euro. 1 euro 20, up 0.1%, and against the dollar, it's down a tad, 0.1% to 1.26. So £1 by one. This is rising actually. The recent high in pound against the dollar was, pound against the dollar was, come on, load, yes, sod. Oh no, it's been in a bit of a downtrend. So the recent high was back in September 24 when it hit 1.34. We're now at 1.26, but it's bounced off the low. It did go down to 1.21. So it's tend to rally a little bit here. Okay, let's look at government bonds quickly. It's flat 2-year government yield. It's at 4.265 and 10 years at 4.6. Again, pretty much flat. Macro news then. Rachel Reeves received more bad news on the public finances on Friday after January tax receipts came in lower than expected, barely a month before she gives an update on whether she is on course to meet her borrowing targets. The public finances typically show a surplus in January when annual tax bills for the previous financial year fall due. But income tax and capital gains tax revenues were below expectations, the ONS said. Although January data showed a record £15.4 billion surplus, this was below the £20.5 billion penciled by the government's Office for Budget Responsibility. That's not good, is it? So first of all, they miss. This is the OBR, where Rachel Reeves runs everything by. So they miss on that. Now, cumulative borrowing for the first 10 months of the financial year totaled £118.2 billion, the fourth highest on record, and well above the OBR's 105. So they predicted 105, came in at 118. Again, another miss. The corporation that Rachel Reeves runs all her forecasts by. The figures come after a number of economists have estimated that Reeves risks missing her debt reduction goals when the OBR publishes updated borrowing forecasts on March 26th. So all she can do now is raise taxes. Will she do that? I'd be surprised if she does that, considering the amount of flack she's had, you know, raising national insurance and lowering the threshold, all that stuff, and living wage. I'd be surprised if she does that. Or thinking, where would she do that? She wouldn't hit businesses again. Or she has to cut public sector spending. So either cut spending or raising taxes, or a bit of both. Wonder what she'll do. Here we are. Maybe a bit of good news here, though, for Rachel Reeves. UK hiring on the rise as confidence lifts, research suggests. Companies have ramped up hiring in recent weeks, while consumer confidence has started to rise, research suggests, in a boost for Rachel Reeves as the government looks for signs of economic growth. The Chancellor has received a fillip after the market research company's JFK's consumer index improved from minus 22 in January to minus 20 in February. Wow, what a huge improvement that is. As households said they were more optimistic about their personal finances and the economic outlook. Isn't this savings rate ratio, which is worth looking at? I think it's like 10-11%, which is basically the amount of savings people have. It's quite high at the moment. It's not a bad, which is a good sign that there can be money spent. You know, people are not skint, generally. They're cautious. So all you need, and that's the thing, you see. When they came out in the Rose Garden and talked down the economy, it hit sentiment. People feel cautious then about spending. They're going to save money just in case they worry they're going to lose their job. And that knocks the economy, makes it worse. And then people don't spend, you know, manufacturers, producers don't sell. So they don't, you know, make any more stuff. They don't employ. It's a vicious circle. They don't employ more people. They lay people off. So sentiment is a huge, you know, factor when it comes to investment and the economy. Never underestimate the way people are feeling, you know, because what you think is pretty much what happens. Let's have a look. A separate survey of employers by the Recruitment and Employment Confederation found that companies had increased hiring in January for the first time since last June. The REC, a lobby group for recruiters, said its survey of businesses found that a number of job postings in January was 1.5 million, an increase of 7.2% on the previous month. That's good. Marking the first rise in job openings since June 2024, the REC said every region in the UK benefited, with the largest increase in the East Midlands, 11.7%, with the smallest in London, 3.4%. More encouraging for the government, the number of new job postings was 738,000, up 34.4% on a sluggish reading in December, and better than the 27.9% increase in January 2024. So maybe there is a bit of positive sign there. I hope there is. I'm not just bashing the government, but I think what they did in the budget was ridiculous. But of course, we all want the economy to benefit. And finally, UK private sector growth softens as manufacturing PMI hits 15-month low. Private sector activity growth in the UK eased slightly in February, according to the latest Purchasing Managers Index from S&P Global, driven by the sharpest contraction in manufacturing output in more than a year. The flash reading of the UK composite PMI, which measures activity in both services and manufacturing sectors, combined fell to 50.5 this month from 50.6 in January, meeting analyst predictions. Growth unexpectedly picked up in the services sector, and of course we are largely services, by 82%, with the PMI rising to 51.1 from 50.9, ahead of consensus forecasts of 50.8. So that's good that grew there. Of course, 50 is the line between which below that is contraction, above that is expansion. However, industrial conditions worsened for the fourth consecutive month, with a contraction in manufacturing represented by any figure under a neutral 50 mark falling from 48.3 to 46.4. This is well below market estimate of 48.4 and the lowest level recorded since December 2023. I do feel manufacturing is struggling so hard in this country. It really is. They need to boost this. Rather than, you know, putting your money in this stupid jam tomorrow, you know, carbon capture storage and all this stuff, long-dated hope projects, you should just basically help what's out there at the moment. You know, provide stimulus and incentives for manufacturing. That's, you know, not building new stuff, but helping. We have infrastructure out there. Improve it. Oh, man. I don't know why I'm talking to saying this. Yeah, that's it, pretty much. No micro today. Like I said, totally PLC CEO stepped down. Biome Technologies delisting. Also, Deltics Technology and or Deltics Medical and Tribe Technology have also confirmed or delisted today. They've announced that previously, of course. Don't forget, sharepickers.com is only 7 days left where you can claim 25% off the Sharepickers Investment Club. Go to the book at sharepickers.com. That's at the top of the page there. Thanks for listening. Speak to you next week. I hope you have a nice weekend. Have a nice weekend. Try and have a nice one. I mean, if you can't, you know, but because we only have one life. And sometimes you just have to enjoy it, don't you? You know, go out for a nice meal or something. Cinema, bowling, whatever you need to do. Walk the dog. Just enjoy. Time is limited. Do you know what? I'm rambling here. Just stop now if you don't want to listen. But I've been ill this week and I've been taking lots of, you know, painkillers. I'm thinking, I'm now sick and tired, a bit down about it because it's carrying on. I'm still in pain, still taking pills. And you just think, I just want to be healthy again. And you realise, you know, the most important things in life are things that you can't buy. Like just the health, you know, getting around easily. It's so important, isn't it, you know? So that's why I say, you know, have a nice weekend. Hope you enjoy yourselves this weekend. And we'll speak to you next week.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Please do your own research.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.